and welcome to this week's edition of Here and Now, the Dawlish and Teignmouth Area Talking Newspaper. Today is Friday the 5th of January, 2024. And would you believe it? It's not raining and the sun is shining. And I believe that the weather forecast for the next few days is dry with some sunshine, but it will be colder. We are the Yellow Team, and on behalf of the Yellow Team, I would like to wish you all a very happy new year. Unfortunately, this week our recording might be slightly shorter than usual, as there were not many stories in the local papers this week. Hopefully next week there will be plenty of news for you to listen to. I'm joined by three readers from our team this week's programme, so let's meet them.
Hello, I'm Linda Bowman.
Hello, I'm Maggie West.
Hello, I'm Lynn Yates.
Here are this week's headline stories. Extreme heat for Dawlish fire crew, a temporary inconvenience, Storm Henk hits Tinbridge with high winds.
Extreme heat for Dawlish fire crew. Fire crews kept busy over the festive period. A biomass energy plant at a Dawlish holiday park, which caught fire, was smouldering at temperatures of up to 400 degrees centigrade. Firefighters from Dawlish were faced with the extreme heat when they were able to gain access to the building, which housed the plant at Coughton Holiday Park near Star Cross. Saturday's fire saw crews from Dawlish joined by colleagues from Middlemore and Danes Castle to tackle the blaze. They responded to reports of the fire and, on arrival, saw billows of smoke coming from the building. A spokesman for Dawlish Fire Station explained, "We proceeded to check the site for excessive heat and fire. Once we had gained access to the building, we were able to determine that the biomass was smouldering up to a temperature of 400 degrees. Four firefighters donned breathing apparatus so that they could tackle the heat with water and prevent the biomass combusting further. Our teams then moved more of the biomass manually to gain access to the source of the original fire. Having done this, the teams made the location safe and handed over to the relevant people at the holiday camp. 2 hours later, the Dawlish crew returned to the site to check the biomass had not reignited and to check to other safety concerns. Meanwhile, crews from Buckfastleigh and Ashburton were scrambled to a road accident on the A38 on December the 27th. The collision caused a considerable tailback along the dual carriageway towards South Brent. The driver of the vehicle had managed to get free of the wreckage and was being treated by paramedics when both fire crews arrived. A spokesman for Buckfastleigh Fire Station said, "We concentrated on making the vehicle safe and removing debris from the carriageway. We attended with our friends from Ashburton Fire Station and remained on scene for approximately 1 hour. December the 29th saw firefighters from Newton Abbott attend a vehicle fire at the Telephone Exchange in Osborne Street. Both appliances attended the scene and crews used BA kit and a hose reel jet to extinguish the blaze and remove the offending battery that had caused it. And it was an early start for Chagford's firefighters on Boxing Day, who turned out to assist in tackling a barn fire on the Devon and Cornwall border. Firefighters have expressed their thanks for the support they have received over the last year." And there are several photographs of different fire crews at different locations. There's one at the Coughton Holidays, and the site looks as though there's just a few sort of poles being left after the fire. And then there's one of the collision on the A38, where it looks as though there was a large lorry involved and also a car. And the Chagford fire at the barn, it looks as though there was just the metal beams left after the fire on Boxing Day.
A temporary inconvenience? Delay may mean one more year for the temporary toilets. Temporary public loos may have to remain on the Den at Teignmouth for another year, as plans for new permanent replacement toilets have been delayed. Delays to the construction programme of the permanent toilets planned by Teignmouth Town Council are behind the need for extra time. So a bid to extend planning permission for the temporary structure has been submitted to Teignbridge Council to allow them to stay until March 2025. The application for the extension says if the two temporary toilet blocks are removed before the construction of the new ones, the only facility on the den would be an accessible toilet which is operated with a key. It says Teignmouth has been awarded a blue flag this year, and the den is an extremely busy area all year round, particularly in the summer months. Without these facilities, Teignbridge Council might receive complaints from both the public and visitors to the resort, which may be detrimental to the blue flag award. The hold-up follows the Town Council's bid to provide new toilets. This came after a long-term lease of the former Beachcomber building and lower ground floor toilets, now the captain's table. The new lease for the premises would have left the resort with only a small block of toilets at the Point car park, as well as toilets at Jubilee Shelter near the Lido. Temporary toilets have been hired from a local company for a period of 82 weeks, starting in October 2022 to March 2024. They were placed back to back on the den opposite the captain's table, with a construction of a permanent drainage connection into the public combined sewer. The toilets are placed on concrete pads with a tarmac path allowing access to the doors. Services have been taken from the existing accessible toilet to provide the temporary toilets with a power supply. The existing accessible toilet continues to remain open, sited underneath the captain's table, as there is no other accessible facility within the temporary blocks or the other town centre toilets. Now, Teignbridge Council needs permission to extend the hire period until March 31st, 2025. In the meantime, to mitigate the potential harm that the utilitarian design of the temporary toilets might present, a planting scheme will be implemented to help soften the form and scale of the building and provide a screening to help conceal the toilet blocks. When the new toilets have been completed by Teignmouth Town Council, the temporary toilets will be removed by the hire company, and the planting scheme will be carefully removed and reused in another location. And I think to call it a utilitarian design, having looked at the photograph here, is a bit of an understatement. It's pretty awful, actually. It's just a lump of whatever it is, which looks as if it's got a palm tree growing out of the top. So I think the sooner they sort that one out, the better.
Storm Henk hits Teignbridge with high winds. Storm Henk hit Teignbridge, bringing down trees and power lines. A tree fell in Exminster, which hit power cables, causing homes and businesses to be without power for several hours. The fallen tree blocked the road near Exminster Garage just after lunchtime on Tuesday. Police were quickly on the scene while the wreckage was removed, followed by engineers to repair the cables and restore the power. The village GP surgery, pharmacy, and the Tesco store were all affected by the power cut, along with many homes. The National Grid had restored power by 4 p.m. In Teignmouth, waves were reported to be crashing over the prom, and on the back beach, boats were being blown about by gusts of winds reaching 70 to 80 miles per hour. A fallen tree blocked a road between New Park in Bovey Tracy and Liverton. Newton Abbot Police said they were aware of reports of debris from roofs, power lines and trees. And there is a photograph here of the tree near Exminster Garage, the police on site and also the National Grid.
Wonderful festive feeling from the Strand Centre. 90 guests and helpers enjoyed a Christmas dinner provided by the Strand Centre in Dawlish. Cooked by centre manager Paul Lentil and his team of peelers, servers and washer-uppers, the meal was traditional turkey donated by restaurant Ducky Delish. MP Anne-Marie Morris was among the visitors during the lunch, along with an appearance by Father Christmas, otherwise known as former Mayor Graham Price, who distributed presents. Music was provided by Alison Foden and Annie Hyde on violin and recorder. Carols were sung with the help of a pop-up girl band. Marie Whitehead from the Strand Centre said there was a wonderful, welcoming, festive feeling. She said everyone involved putting on the lunch deserved a big thank you and that it was an amazing community effort. Thanks also went to Dawlish Water Rotary and other individuals who donated money to make the day a happy one for everyone who otherwise would have been alone. And there's a photograph of several of the visitors wearing their Christmas jumpers and Father Christmas type hats and paper hats from the crackers. And in the middle is Anne-Marie Morris looking very festive in a red top.
Busy Yuletide period for West Bank Health Charity. The run-up to Christmas was busy for local health and wellbeing charity West Bank Community Health and Care, which had a full calendar of events for members of its community and its team. The festive celebrations got off to a heartwarming start when Year 2 children from Exeter Pre-Prep School visited and sang a medley of Christmas songs. The following day, the Royal Oak in Exminster kindly hosted a three-course meal for 50 of the West Bank's clients to mark the end of a year of support from the pub. West Bank's Head of Fundraising and Marketing, Katie Elliott, said the Royal Oak pulled out all the stops again this year, providing our clients with a delicious meal, much enjoyed and appreciated by all who attended. The pub was beautifully decorated and the food was plentiful. Many thanks to Mel and the team for making it such a lovely event. Thanks also to all our wonderful volunteers who came along to help. One of our volunteers donated a beautiful Christmas hamper that was raffled off over lunch and raised over £100 to support West Bank's work. The icing on the Christmas cake was a visit by Year 6 choir from Exminster Community Primary School, who dressed in novelty jumpers and antlers to regale us with Christmas songs. West Bank staff and volunteers also donned festive clothing for the event, and a Christmas jumper day earlier in December, baking biscuits in the new community cookery school, and taking part in a Christmas quiz. The team also put together gifts and food hampers to distribute within the community after receiving generous donations from local businesses and organisations. These include Exeter Food Action, who've donated toys for local families, Lush Exeter, who supplied toiletry items for Christmas hampers for the local community, and Wales and West Utilities, who donated warm hats and gloves. These were given to valuable, vulnerable local people through the charity's community larders in Exminster and Starcross, and through its warm space project, Warmwell, at Farmhouse Rise in Exeter.
Tops 5K for RNLI. Close on 500 people took part in Tynmouth's Boxing Day Walk in the Sea, helping to raise over £5,000 for a life-saving charity. The event, the first to take place since 2019, following COVID cancellations and weather disruptions, is a major fundraising event for Tynmouth RNLI. Tynmouth RNLI fundraising chairman, Adrian Knowles, paid tribute to all those who turned out and braved the waters. I have to say a massive thank you to all those who took part on Boxing Day, whose efforts have helped to raise vital funds needed to help save lives at sea, he said. A special thank you must also go to the RNLI fundraising volunteers, as well as the volunteer crew, for their dedication in making the event a success. As in previous years, it was a case of not how you dip, but what you wear, with many of the participants opting for fancy dress, which this year saw several Santas, a plethora of penguins, and even Elvis. Town Mayor Councillor Joan Atkins was on hand to judge and present prizes to the winners. The fancy dress winners were Junior Poseidon, Adult Jaws, and Group the Penguins. And there are a few photographs here. There's one of the penguins splashing about in the water, and there's others of people in various fancy dress, including two ladies in pink tutus.
Singers hit the right note with a transport charity. Shanty group the Back Beach Boys have handed over a cheque to Dawlish Community Transport. The £250 was raised at a recent fundraising concert by the group. A spokesman for the Back Beach Boys said the band was horrified by the arson attack and wanted to help fund the reinstatement of normal services. The Dawlish charity, which provides transport for medical appointments, shopping and days out for people in and around the Dawlish area, was devastated by an arson attack last year, and several of the charity's minibuses were destroyed in the fire. And there's a photograph of five of the members of the Back Beach Boys wearing their very colourful Hawaiian shirts, handing a cheque to one of the representatives of Dawlish Transport with one of those very large cheques that you see on these charity occasions.
Plans for lifeguards to continue for the next 5 years. RNLI lifeguards are due to be back on Teignbridge beaches for the next 5 years. Councillors were expected to renew a contract with the RNLI to continue to provide summer lifeguard cover for the next 5 years at Teignmouth and Dawlish Warren beaches. The RNLI has provided a lifeguard service on the beaches there for 15 years and has been involved in numerous rescues, provision of first aid to beach users, and taken thousands of preventative steps to keep people safe. In addition to helping to keep people safe, lifeguarded beaches are one of the elements that contribute to Dawlish Warren retaining its blue flag beach status. Councillors were advised that, as well as saving lives, the presence of RNLI lifeguards also gives confidence to less confident swimmers and so increases access to well-being opportunities. By providing a beach lifeguard service, the Council is also supporting the UK Drowning Prevention Strategy, developed by the National Water Safety Forum, with the aim of reducing accidental drowning fatalities in the UK by 50% by 2026. Executive Member for Sport, Recreation and Resorts, Councillor John Nutley said, "This is an important service to people using these beaches, and we are grateful that over the past 15 years, the RNLI have not only provided the service, but contributed to its cost. Many people have benefited from the presence of the RNLI lifeguards, and I would like to take this opportunity to thank everyone who's contributed to making these beaches safer for both residents and visitors." And there is a rather nice photograph of one of the bright yellow lifeguards rafts that they use when they are rescuing from the beaches.
They saw one ship come drifting in. A boat which broke free from its mooring in Shaldon was found more than 150 miles away when it washed up in East Sussex. New Haven Coast Guards were alerted to reports of a capsized boat on the coast at Salt Dean on Friday. It was discovered the 16-foot Noah's Ark had originated in Shaldon before drifting miles along the south coast. A week earlier, it was thought the Noah's Ark may have been stolen. Alex Howarth raised the alarm when the boat went missing from the moorings on the Shaldon side of the River Teign on December the 22nd. It had been seen the day before. Alex appealed for help to find the boat, which was named after a family member. Now Alex has been contacted after it was found near Brighton and has asked for help to borrow a trailer to tow it back to Devon. New Haven Coast Guard said the boat appeared to have drifted along the south coast before it was spotted on the beach. The Coast Guards checked it for occupants and carried out a shoreline search. A spokesman said, "Markings located prompted further inquiries, and it was discovered the boat broke free from its mooring on December the 22nd from Teignmouth. It took around 6 days to travel in a stormy sea from Devon, all the way past several counties and the Isle of Wight to Sussex. The boat was secured to rock and the promenade awaiting recovery." And there's a picture of the boat tied to the rocks, looking a bit sorry for itself.
Vandals target community garden. Vandals have smashed up a lovingly created community garden in Teignmouth. The Alexandra Terrace Garden was built by a group of volunteers but before Christmas they were devastated when a handmade picnic table was damaged, plants pulled up, and a planter ripped off a wall. The table had been made by Tynmouth Town Councillor Dan Comer, who built it out of waste wood in his workshop. Dan, who is known as the leader of a group of Tynmouth guerrilla gardeners, said he was extremely upset over the damage. Now he and fellow councillors are offering a £200 reward to find the culprits. The damage to the bench is likely to take many hours to repair. Councillor Mike Jackman said, "We want the people responsible for this vandalism to be dealt with by way of restorative justice. We don't want a heavy penalty, but nor should we shrug our shoulders and ignore vandalism." Councillor Penny Lloyd said, "While this incident is very sad, I am encouraged by the number of good people in our community supporting projects to make Tynmouth look good." Councillor David Cox said, "Dan shows true community spirit, and he and his volunteers won't be put off by this. The planter, which was ripped off a wall, has been put back by a nearby resident." And there's a photograph of the four of them. That's Dan Comer, Penny Lloyd, Mike Jackman and David Cox with the damaged table.
VR experience helps hunt down U-boats. A spectacular virtual reality experience and a new interactive multimedia touchscreen about the local church rock's wrecks are two new displays visitors to Tynmouth and Shoreden Museum can enjoy. At a recent event to mark the end of this long-term project, Teen Heritage proudly presented the displays to invited local guests and representatives of the funders, Devon County Council, Historic England and Tide, EU Atlantic Consortium of Marine Museums. The VR experience lets viewers take on the challenging role of a kite balloon observer in 1917, flying in a balloon basket attached to a ship sailing down the Devon coast, hunting for U-boats. The simulated video shows how local First World War coastal defences protected British merchant ships and fishing vessels from German submarine attacks off the south coast. When researching information about this VR project, museum staff were surprised to find that there were as many as 8 ships torpedoed or mined off Tynmouth and more in Tor Bay. Local divers are able to dive on some of these wrecks, such as the wreck of the merchant ship Perón, which sank in 1917. A very large gun from this ship was brought up by divers many years ago and is on display in the museum. The story of the Church Rocks wreck off the beach in Tynmouth is amazing and still a mystery. In 1975, a bronze cannon was initially discovered by 13-year-old Simon Burton when he was out snorkeling and spearfishing with his father off St Michael's Church in Tynmouth. At first, Simon thought it was a lamppost in the water, but then found it was the barrel of a cannon. The family brought it ashore and then spent several years searching for more items to prove that there was a shipwreck under the shifting sands. Eventually, 6 cannon were found in all, and the remains of a wreck of a 16th century sailing vessel. At the time, Simon's story became national news and he appeared on television in Blue Peter. Later, in 1995, Time Team made a programme about the wreck. Now the museum has installed a multimedia interactive screen which visitors can see and use to film interviews with Simon and short films about the wreck by Shoreden School, photographs, research documents and several maps of the coast and other wrecks are also available. And there are 2 lovely photographs here, one of the museum volunteers trying out the virtual reality experience, sitting in a balloon with headphones on, and it looks as if he's looking through a periscope. And the other photograph is one of a somewhat older Simon Burton, the original discoverer of the wreck, with his wife Tracy. They're also accompanied by Chris Priest, one of the original divers and a marine archaeologist, and local historian Viv Wilson, MBE, who of course has written a very interesting book about that wreck.
Invite to take part in TDC budget survey.
Households across Tonbridge will be expected to come up with just under 11 pence a week more in council tax in 2024 to support the work of their local authority. Tonbridge is looking to increase its share of the tax bills by 2.99%, saying the money will be used to support vulnerable people, invest in housing, and help tackle climate change. Devon County Council will add its requirements on top, along with a sum for adult social care in the district, charges for policing and fire service, and a precept from local town and district councils. The first draft of the 2024-25 council budget will be considered by the Tonbridge Executive Committee this week. Currently, an average Band D property in Tonbridge pays £2,279.30 per year in council tax, with just 8% of that total, £190.71, earmarked for the district council. The district council says rising costs and falling income mean it has to increase bills to pay for services such as waste and recycling, street cleaning, planning, licensing, car parking, environmental health, homelessness, and election organisation. The Executive Committee meeting marks the start of a series of council meetings to scrutinise the plans before a final decision is made in March. Local residents and businesses are encouraged to make comments in a budget survey on the council website, which runs until noon on Friday, the 2nd of February. Executive Member for Corporate Resources and Deputy Leader of the Council, Councillor Richard Keeling, Lib Dem Chudley, said, "These early proposals reflect both the Council's priorities, decisions made over recent months to support local people, and increased costs, which we can anticipate in the coming year. A huge amount of thought has gone into the proposals. These are not set in stone, which is why it is really important that local people and businesses respond to our budget survey to let us know what they think of the priorities set out." The Council says the key elements of the budget are aimed at supporting the vulnerable, investing in housing, job sites and key infrastructure, and launching a new annual Blue Badge car parking permit. The proposals also back maintaining the 100% council tax reduction scheme for those in need and the Council Community Fund, which supports small local good causes. They also highlight the ways the Council is aiming to make savings over the coming months, as well as increase in some fees and charges to help bridge the budget gap.
And now we have three obituaries. Gaynor G. Appleby passed away on the 22nd of December 2023, aged 51, loving wife of Bob. The funeral service will take place in St. Gregory's Church, Dawlish, on Friday the 12th of January 2024 at 1 p.m. Please wear bright colours and family flowers only. Donations are welcome for the South African and Environment Project, and may be left by retiring collection with Dawlish Funeral Care, Scala House, Lawn Terrace, Dawlish EX79PY, and telephone number 01626 862 426. Next, we have Hilda Gover, passed away peacefully at Moores Park Care Home on December the 20th, aged 88 years. A devoted mother, grandmother, great-grandmother and great-great-grandmother, who is going to be deeply missed. A celebration of her life will take place at Torquay Crematorium on January the 16th, 2024 at 11:30. Family flowers only, please, with donations going to the Alzheimer's Society and balloons by retiring collection. For further information, please contact Kaz Denning, Funeral Director at J.H. Way Funeral Services, 1 Pellew Arcade, Tynmouth 01626 248068. Sorry, that's 248008. Valerie Joan Morgan passed away at home in Dawlish, aged 88, loving wife of Derek and mother of Jane and Anthony. The funeral service will be held at St. Peter's Chapel, Exeter Crematorium, on Friday the 19th of January 2024 at 2:30 p.m. Donations are welcome to Rowcroft Hospice, Torquay by Retiring Collection. For Parker's Family Funeral Directors, Great Western House, 9 Devon Square, Newton Abbot, TQ12 2HN, 01626 437001.
Tynmouth Comedy Club's first comedy gig of the year takes place next Friday, January the 12th, from 8 p.m. Simon Emmanuel will take centre stage at the Pavilions in Tynmouth with a comedic prowess that's as sharp as its side-splitting. His engaging storytelling and impeccable timing make every performance an unforgettable comedy experience. He'll be joined by fellow funny men, writer, comedian and actor Eddie Brimson, who once torched Frank's Carlotte in EastEnders, and Ian Murphy, who draws his humour from his childhood heroes Morecambe and Wise, Tommy Cooper and Billy Connolly. For ticket details, please see the website www.pavilionstynmouth.org.uk.
The Jones Boy goes full circle on tour. Alad Jones is hitting the road for a major UK tour, in which he'll go full circle. Fans can prepare to hear him as they've never heard him before when he visits Paignton's Palace Theatre this spring as part of his Full Circle UK tour. After 40 years in the business, he's looking back on a remarkable career with a one-man show that will feature never-before-heard music, tales from the decades, and for the first time, his story told in his own words. It's time to come full circle, and I'm really excited about this tour, said Alad. I'll be telling stories about how it all began, then taking the audience on a journey through my career. There'll be songs, there'll be stories, and there'll be one or two surprises. There'll also be a book. It's going to be a very busy 2024, and I can't wait to get on the road and visit interesting places I've never visited before. And of course, see my wonderful fans. Alad sprung to fame as the boy treble who captivated the world with his angelic voice. Selling over 7 million albums, he was the original classical crossover star. His recording of Walking in the Air from the animated film The Snowman firmly established him as a household name, and he has become an integral part of the nation's festivities. Equally at home on the classical stage or starring in musical theatre productions in London West End, his credits include lead roles in Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat, Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, and Irving Berlin's White Christmas. Alad is a favourite with the royal family and even gave a private performance to King Charles III in Kensington Palace. He is an award-winning television broadcaster and radio presenter who's interviewed hundreds of A-list stars over the years. There have been some incredible moments, meeting royalty, playing concert halls all over the world, singing at Bob Geldof and Paula Yates' wedding, and of course recording Walking in the Air, right through to Songs of Praise and Classic FM, continued Alad. The show will be stories and songs from across my career. I'll be singing some of my favourites, telling some of my stories, and showing previously unseen photographs. Who knows, the audience might even get to ask a few questions. Palace Theatre Director Maureen McAllister is also looking forward to the singer's visit. We are delighted to have been selected as a venue for Alad's UK tour, she said. Alad is most certainly known by our audiences with his popularity reaching across the generations, for both his famous rendition of Walking in the Air to his regular TV appearances over the years. We expect this to be extremely popular and have no doubt that our audiences are in for a fabulous show. Tickets for the show on March the 31st can be booked from the venue's website, www.palacetheatrepaynton.co.uk, or by calling the box office on 01803 665 800, and there's a nice photograph here of Alla Jones smiling and looking ready to start the tour.
Dartmoor Rangers to trial body cams. Rangers working on Dartmoor are to carry on using body-worn video cameras in response to antisocial and hostile behaviour by some visitors. One ranger was able to use footage from a miniature camera to prove that he hadn't knocked down a member of the public with his Land Rover. A 2-year trial of the cameras, which began in February 2022, has been a success, and rangers say they feel safer as a result. Now, members of the Dartmoor National Park Authority, that's the DNPA, are poised to give the go-ahead for the cameras to stay in use. When they were first introduced, rangers said it was because some had been verbally abused, flashed at, threatened with a mallet, and chased. While incidents are rare, DNPA members said even one is unacceptable. The pilot was set up to see if using cameras would help address incidents of abuse, as well as helping rangers to enforce the law on the moor. Members of the team always wear them when patrolling Spitchwick, Bellaver, Cadover and Roeburgh Down areas, and have cameras charged up in their vehicles in other locations in case they are needed. The cameras have been activated 7 times during the pilot, 3 times dealing with groups of people in the Dart Valley, twice to gather evidence of trials bikes using the moor, once at a rave, and once for the Land Rover incident. That happened at Buckland Bridge near Holne Chase, when a member of the public accused the ranger of knocking them over. Camera footage showed that the ranger had not made contact with that person. A report to the authority says, overall, the team feels safer having them available and support their continued use. The presence of body-worn cameras has not met with any notable objections from the public or had any noticeable negative impact on conversations. The presence of a camera during the confrontation at Buckland Bridge shows how well it can protect the team from false allegations. Since the pilot scheme began, the Park Authority has been approached by other national parks and wildlife organisations interested in using the same technology. The 11 cameras cost £369 each, and each one needs software with costs of £180 a year. The total cost for the 2-year pilot period was just over £8,000.
And now we have one or two snippets of information of things that were happening in Tynmouth 50 years ago. Housing shortage. A recent report states that there is a total of 1,516 applications for council houses in the 7 districts of Teignbridge. It's estimated that by April the 1st, only 203 units of accommodation will have been completed. The council should buy up large properties as they become vacant and turn them into flats without altering the character of the locality. Cottages in South Devon have been coming on the market on a wave of greed and high prices. These are snapped up by outsiders, modernised and sold at fantastic prices to people who have no sympathetic feelings for the age-old character of the area. Like the people who come to a place and object to the activities of a seaport, which have been carried on for generations. Or like those who come to live in the country and object, under the control of noise regulations, to a farmer's sheep bleating at night, even to the extent of keeping a night watch to ascertain how many noise decibels the bleats are raising. street lighting. In a report about compliance with the 50 mile per hour speed limit, the Tynmouth Accident Prevention Committee have considered the painting of electric light standards with South West Electricity Board. They were in agreement, but asked about the colour. The committee wanted the poles adjacent to the kerb either to be red, white, orange or yellow, which could be seen both day and night.
Bridge rebuild. Station Bridge Dawlish will be closed from next Monday for 6 months, so that the structure can be rebuilt. Back in 1845, during the construction of Brunel's massive sea wall, work had to be suspended for nearly 4 months due to the prevalence of strong easterly winds, which prevented the landing of stone blocks, and work on the tunnels was also delayed. The line was opened for traffic on the 30th of May, 1846. Pony Patrol. Pony patrols were part of the Princetown Prison security cover for 100 years, but finished on Christmas Eve. They are redundant because mechanised farming is leading to the reduction in the number of prisoners working outside. But some officers objected, as some working parties were as far as 4 miles from the prison. Two ponies will stay on shepherd duties. The rest will go to Haldon Home Prison. And also 50 years ago, in the Tynmouth Riviera Cinema, Cecil B. DeMille's The Ten Commandments was playing with Charlton Heston, Yul Brynner and a cast of thousands.
That brings us to the end of this week's edition of Here and Now, recorded at our studio in Dawlish on Friday the 5th of January. We hope you have enjoyed the programme. If you need to contact us for any reason, the telephone number is 07376 147374. I'll repeat that, 07376 147374. Please leave your name and telephone number on the answering service and we will ring you back. Our editor this week is Jean Cole, the copier is Jean Cole and the dispatcher is Jean Cole. And the programme was produced and directed by Ian Ferguson. So it's time for us to say goodbye from our readers.
Goodbye. Goodbye.
And from me, Jean Cole, goodbye.